Our guest Nick Redfern told us about a conversation he had with a friend of his, Ray Beauchet, who introduced the idea that he'd been visited by these two fellows from a government agency. And as Nick was to learn, these guys work for something called the Collins Elite. Nick, how did you get on the trail of the Collins Elite? How did you find out that it even existed?
Yeah, this is sort of a long and winding story, I guess, George. What happened?
That's okay. That's all right. We have time.
I guess we do. Well, basically, you know, sometimes when you're investigating UFO stories, as they particularly relate to government involvement and official secrecy, you know, you get so far and you just hit a stumbling block. You know, it's how do we take this to the next level? You know, it's kind of like Roswell. You know, we know something happened and the government lied about it, basically. But it's if the files exist, how do we get them? You know, that's the stumbling block we face with that case. And, you know, sometimes you get more and sometimes you get less data depending on circumstances. And when Ray related this account to me in its full entirety, which had never been really published in all its sort of intricacies before, I thought, wow, you know, these guys, although it was just sort of several meetings, several in-person meetings and then follow-up phone calls and communications, etc., they related a tremendous amount of material suggesting the project had been going on for a long time, because Ray's meeting was practically 20 years ago, even today. And of course, covering a lot of different areas like opening portals, consulting ancient texts, etc. It was quite clear to me that if this was real and it wasn't disinformation to deceive Ray, that, you know, that a lot of work had gone into this project. And if that's the case, then surely there must have been meetings and discussions and a realization that, you know, the project was put, how it was put together, why it was put together, there must have been funding. So this sort of made me think, you know, whether it was true or not, the logic would dictate that some sort of agency or body, if you like, had to have been put together at some point. And so I said to Ray, you know, well, this is a really interesting story, but how do we get beyond just this one piece of the story? You know, I said, you know, you've convinced me that you met these guys and the story's valid. Is there a way to take it further? And Ray was, well, not from me there isn't. You know, I've related to you basically the entire story as it happened, this sort of deep throat whistleblower type encounters he had with these guys from the Department of Defense. And so what I did, I thought, well, you know, I actually spent a few months just kind of trying to figure out how to get further. I just could not take it further. I spoke to a couple of people who shared the views, but, you know, these were just people in the UFO research community. There were a couple of books previously written on this particular issue of demonic UFOs, but, you know, this not from the government perspective. Now, what Ray, there were several things when I interviewed Ray, but he asked me not to publish in the book, and I agreed not to do that. And this related to his speculation as to how the guys had managed to track him down, and certain players and certain Air Force bases that were possibly involved and that may have sort of led him to be brought into the picture. And so basically what I did, I just laid my cards on the table and without naming Ray by name, phoned up the relevant agencies and Air Force bases and offices specifically where there was speculation of them having had involvement in making the connections with Ray, and said, look, you know, I've heard this story, I'm researching it, I work as an author, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm interested in speaking to someone who may have some information on this meeting or this particular story in general. And I basically got a reply of, well, that's very interesting, sir, but it's nothing that the military gets involved in, you know, it's good luck with a book. It was literally along those lines.
Sure.
And then, you know, I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to take it any further unless, you know, I start advertising in magazines. And then, of course, if you put the core story out there, you don't know if somebody contacts you is the real thing or they're just some fantasist who's picking up on what you've said and then parroting back, you know, in their own fantasy, if you like. But what happened was I got a very strange series of phone calls, almost like enigmatic, which barely ever happens. You know, I think everybody at some point in their ufological career either meets or speaks with whistleblower type characters or has, you know, sort of a strange, enigmatic relationship with people in the official world. And that's what happened. I essentially got a call from Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. Now, that was weird in itself because the number actually showed up on my phone. There was no attempt to block the number. And, you know, sometimes military organizations are quite antsy about, you know, numbers popping up if they phone someone for security reasons. And I was actually, I Googled the number, and I was able to prove that it did come from Offutt Air Force Base. And the office it came from was like an operator service that was responsible for channeling internal calls outside of the base. So it didn't give me the internal number, unfortunately, but I was able to verify that it was an operator service at Offutt. And got to speak to someone who said, well, we understand you're following this story. Would you might like to meet someone from the Collins Elite? And I was like, well, what's a Collins Elite? You know, it didn't mean anything to me in the slightest at all. And essentially, it was just a case then of a few enigmatic words of, well, you know, this is a project or investigation you're following. Now, a number of people have quite rightly said, you know, and this raised the red flags with me. Why, if this is a classified project, why open it up to a UFO researcher who has already admitted in a previous call to thinking about writing a book on it? And, you know, I mean, I recognize, you know, that does put the red flags up. Are you being about to be swamped with disinformation to take you down one path when, you know, the other path is the valid one? But again, I think it comes down to something Ray once told me. And that was, it seemed to be the case that the guys he interviewed wanted him to put the story out there to see how the public might react to it. And Ray didn't, other than just mentioning it in a couple of lectures and it getting a brief mention in a few books, you know, just a couple of pages. And I think reading between the lines, there are people within government who believe this theory and want to put it out, but in a fashion that, I guess, kind of in drips and drabs, to see how people respond. And I suspect,
yeah, like run it up the flagpole and see if people freak out about it.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going on here, and that may have had something to do with at least me having the ability to speak to four or five people on the record or off the record, and several who I also interviewed who didn't even want to be quoted at all on or off the record in the book. But what happened was that I got a call, and I literally drove. I live in Dallas, Texas, and I had to drive to Albuquerque to meet a man named Richard Duke, a very elderly but very sprightly guy, literally in his 80s, who was claimed to be one of the original members of the group. Now, of course, you know, a sort of million thoughts go through your mind. Again, you know, everybody at some point in ufology, not often, granted, but goes through this sort of scenario. And, you know, I was thinking, well, is it a setup? Is it just... I didn't believe it was a joke. I didn't think it was a hoax because, as I said, I've been able to trace the call back to the Air Force Base, but I did wonder and sort of muse on the possibility if it was, you know, just to, I guess...
Gamesmanship.
Yes.
Gamesmanship of some sort.
Yeah, sort of confuse the whole UFO issue even further by putting another theory out there to, you know, burying something else. So I went along with no sort of particular, I guess, agenda in mind, but just to listen to what this Mr. Duke had to say. And he essentially related the story of the beginnings of the group up until when he said he left in 1960. And, you know, people have said, well, could he have been trying to disinform you? And, you know, I don't mean this as any disrespect to people in their 80s, but he told such an intricate story that if say, 3 months earlier, three weeks earlier or something, he'd been briefed to say, hey, you know, we want you to spread disinformation to this guy, and here's the story. You know, for a guy in his mid-80s to... in that short period of time, learn this whole thing and then relate it to me, I think that would be a hard job for somebody in their 20s or 30s, never mind somebody, you know, in their mid-80s. And, you know, when he was sat opposite me, he did come across like someone speaking from memory, not someone who had been quickly prepped to learn a whole scenario, you know, in the last few days.